Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Are we awake on a morning like this when the clouds are out? It kind of feels like one of those mornings you want to sleep in, right? So hopefully you are a little bit more awake than that. We're ready for another message this morning. Actually, Sammy and I are super excited about this morning. We've been talking about this over the last week, and then this morning we were kind of going back and forth and thinking through it. Today we're talking about peace. Anybody need peace? Yeah, some hands raised.
Just a few people.
Boy, I mean, and when you start thinking about the peace of God, it's such a deep well. Such a deep well. And I want us to think for a moment as we get started that as we're moving through the fruit of the Spirit, we started with love. It's the base, the foundation for all of the rest of the fruit. Last week, we talked about how joy tied into that. And we only have the joy of God through the love, through displaying His love. Today, it's no mistake that Paul said peace is third, because there's so many things that are tied up into what peace is for us. So let's start with that, Sammy.
Yeah.
How do we define peace? Because there's a lot of definitions out there.
That's right. So I think one of the things that we sometimes think about is that peace is the absence of conflict. You know, when peace, we have peace, everything is good. Unlike anything that's happening right now.
Exactly.
Like, this is an unpeaceful time. But in actuality, what peace is being able to go through a lot of things, a lot of difficult times, knowing that God has it in control. And yeah. I think that's something we're going to continue to come through over and over again. We're going to realize through Scripture and through personal experiences as well, is when we're really peaceful is when we know that it's not anything from us that we're drawing out from us.
Right.
But it is something that we're finding that God has given to us.
Yeah, and it comes as we, you know, find ourselves back in this right relationship with God. That's where the peace happens. And so, you guys, it's about being in the presence of God. That's peace. And I can enjoy that anywhere and in any situation. My situation, my place, the people that surround me do not dictate my peace.
That's right. That's right.
And as we go through it today, I think that will come more, something that we'll understand a little bit better. Because as you and I were talking about it, we really thought there are two realities when it comes to peace that we as Christians need to know. Two realities. And the first one, that peace is not some subjective feeling. Did y'all hear me? Peace is not a subjective feeling. It's an objective reality through Jesus Christ. And we were thinking about that when you were thinking about the birth of Jesus, right?
Right, right from the beginning. In fact, let's even just go to the garden. When we were walking with God, when man was with God, that was a time where we were at peace. That was walking alongside God, and that's where we realized what peace was, and then we decided that we were going to take that away. And then we were at war with God.
Right.
We were in a place where things that God wanted for us, we decided we didn't want any of that.
Yep.
And so the plan was already in place for peace to come back. And I was looking at just Luke 2:14. I keep looking up at the wrong camera. You can tell I haven't been up here in a while. I'm like, and then Luke 2:14. Luke 2:14 starts out talking about how the angels talked about when they were talking to the shepherds in the field. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." And that's something that I was reading this past week and just realizing that with the introduction of the birth of Christ, peace was coming back.
Yep.
What we would understand as true and ultimate peace was being introduced as our relationship with Christ was going to be, with God, was going to be reformed.
Absolutely.
Also, we can look at John. John 14:27 says, "My peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world does, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And then Jesus says further in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation," and that's true, we know that, "but take heart, I have overcome the world." And when we think of that God has already figured that out and done away with it, that's where we can really try to understand what that peace of God is, with that joy, with the love, joy, and now peace is. talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. And don't you love how what Jesus says there is past tense?
Yeah.
Don't y'all like that? I have overcome. I'm overcoming, and I'm going to be overcoming all through your life. I have overcome the world. Done. That's what Jesus did. And by what he did for us, we're no longer, you guys, at odds with God. We're no longer at war, like Sammy was just saying, with him. Jesus has restored a right relationship with God by taking upon himself the sin that separated us from God. We can now live in peace with God. He's no longer separated from us, but lives in us. Is there no amens? Come on, seriously, people. He lives
Amen.
In us.
Amen.
That tells us we're at peace with God. He was one time separated from us by what we did. So instead of receiving the wrath of God, we've received the grace of God. Instead of receiving punishment, we've received peace. That's good news. If you don't know it, that's good news. Romans, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, he says, this verse 1 and 2, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we want to tell people about. But if for us as Christians, we still live in dread, we don't get it. When we receive the grace of God in our hearts, he has taken away the barrier we had with God, and now we are at peace with him. We are no longer having day by day wondering, am I with God, am I not with God? Am I with God, am I not with God? And I think a lot of people become Christians with that dread still in mind. And they go down the street and they see the billboard. If Jesus came today, would you be with him? As Christians, we don't have to ask that question. We don't live in dread. We live in peace. Paul said to the Colossians, for in him, all in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Okay, I want y'all to just listen to this. If you're out there in online land or you're here, hear this passage. This is to the Ephesians. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace.
Amen.
Who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility between us and God, and that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Did you hear that? All hostility that we built between us and God is dead. We are now brought near to him because of what he's done.
And just even while you're reading this, I'm noticing a lot of the language that's in a lot of these verses. It's a lot of the things that do bring us anxiety, and it's a hostility. It's a it's this abolishing. It's all of these words that are so like you said, filling us with dread. But peace takes those away. They're not around anymore, and we can really rest in that. And when you have that, as we're going to get to, it's not something, again, that we're kind of drawing in from ourselves. I got to find that peace. It's already been given to us.
Right.
But relax in that and relate in that and understand how God is giving that to us. It's a relationship.
That's a great segue into the next reality, because The first reality is that we live peace. We've been made at peace with God. And we that's one reality. The second reality is that we practice peace. It's something that's supposed to be an action too. Not simply something received, but something given. So the reality of peace or all is well in my relationship with God does not mean that there's no suffering, there's no trials, there's no things that we go through. In fact, peace is often most manifested in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering.
Same thing with love and with joy.
And joy,
to really understand those, you've got to go through, unfortunately, the hard times, the suffering, to really understand what that means.
Well, and you and I were talking about this, Sam and I were talking about how love, joy, peace, a lot of these things that we're talking about in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, we have to recognize them in the midst of that suffering, those trials, because if we felt it all the time, we'd be in heaven. It is a recognition that we're not there yet. But we will someday. We receive it in part.
A glimpse of what we're going to have.
It's just a part, right? And we get to be a part of that. So it's crazy when you think about it, because the same Jesus that said, "My peace I give you, my peace I leave you," also said this, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." What? Jesus. Talking out of both sides of your mouth, okay? Is he? No. He brought the peace. The barrier has been destroyed, killed. But that same peace that he brings as we give our lives over to him will also bring non-peace to those who are against it. And guys, Jesus went on to say, it's the people you love most and are closest to that may be your greatest adversaries in Christ. Your mom, your dad, your spouse, your children. Is Jesus so much to us that he comes first? Jesus was telling us, I do bring peace, but I don't bring peace the way you think of bring peace. While Jesus brought us peace with God through restored relationship with him, he also put us at odds with the rest of the world. We're not going to be, you know, at peace with everybody at all times.
But as we'll see, we'll get to show them what that's like.
Yes.
Especially in our communities and our neighborhoods these days, when we may be able to get back and show people. People are going to look at you and say, well, with all of what's going on, don't you understand that we have an election coming up in less than 20 days? Don't you understand there's these conversations over race and all of these things that are just driving me crazy? How do you look and how do you act the way that you act? Which brings open a perfect door for conversations.
Absolutely.
Bold conversations, but conversations all the while.
Yeah, because then they're wondering, like, why?
Yeah.
Because no one else is at peace.
Mm-mm.
So we may live peace in terms of our relationship with God, but our other reality is that we got to practice it regularly. We got to practice peace. Well, why? Well, because it doesn't come naturally to us. Did you hear that?
Supernatural.
I mean, one of the funniest things that I ever watch, and I'm the chief of sinner in this, but anytime I get a group of people that are trying to calm them down for just being in the presence of God, it's like I've got a room full of two-year-olds that can't sit still. We struggle with being at peace. It's not natural to us. In fact, peace is, just so we all know this, peace is a supernatural gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of man, right? It doesn't just happen. It happens through us, through regularly practicing Christ in our lives. That's when peace is practiced and lived. So that brings us to one of our biggest passage today.
Yes. Yep.
Philippians 4.
Philippians 4, and we'll be starting in verse 4 and 13. We'll be taking little sections out because it's so important to understand what's happening here. And as far as we talk about practice, anything worth anything in our lives, we've said, needs practice.
Right.
Can't just jump in and do it. And we may be naturally gifted a few things, or something may come easy to us, but we've said, this isn't something that's really natural to us because we don't understand it or be able to talk about it. We have to experience it, and that's what these verses really bring home here. So starting in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we can't be anxious if we're living in the peace of God.
So how does this happen, Sammy? You're telling me you're never anxious?
Well,
anybody
right now
out there?
When I keep looking at the wrong camera, I'm like, oh wait, what am I doing?
Yeah,
people understanding?
Camera, which,
but yeah, no, anxiousness goes along with being human. I mean, that's something that we have. But how we deal with that, how we say, look, am I going to like live in that and not let the peace of God work with me? Or am I going to say, I'm going to take that anxiousness and say, God, I am anxious. I'm going to talk to him and say, lead me through this because I can't do this alone. When we understand and that's the relationship that we're looking at, then things start changing and our actions start looking different. We start looking different and we start understanding and looking at ourselves and knowing that, and then others will know that as well.
Well, anxiousness for us is in our understanding. I'm anxious because of what I understand. But the peace of God passes understanding. It's something, and you said it this morning when we were talking, it's experienced. You can't describe it to people. It is. And we may feel anxious about what we're going through. By the way, Jesus sweat blood. You know that, right? So we may be feeling anxious about what we're going through, but we're not anxious about the outcome. God has overcome the world through his Son. Amen?
Amen.
So nothing in all of creation can separate us from Christ, from God. Nothing. That is peace. And it goes way beyond our understanding and our immediate anxiousness.
And also, do not be anxious is a command. And so it's not an option.
That's right.
Oh, you know what? Sunday is no anxious day. It's my cheat day, right? And then Monday is like, that's the anxious day because it's a Monday and, you know, how we feel about Mondays. Nope, this is a command. We're told not to be anxious so that we can allow the Spirit to work on us.
Right.
So that peace can really, we can start to experience it. And even if we can't describe it, we'll know what it is when we see it, when we have it.
But it's, again, about the practice part of it. That leads us into the next part of the passage, right?
Yep.
Because right here it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will what? Will he'll be with us? What? If we practice these things? Now here again, this is peace not just received, it's peace lived. It's peace that's got to be practiced. We must practice truth, honor, justice, purity, loving kindness, righteousness, excellence. We don't live them perfectly, we practice them regularly. When we practice them regularly, God is with us. That's our peace. That's crazy, you guys.
And all of the things that are the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit are will be taken away. We'll be able to, it won't be, actually, I shouldn't say taken away, but we'll be able to live through those
live
things,
through them.
Right?
That's right.
Because I think that's, again, some of the one of the things that we think about when we pray for peace. We're like, we say, can you just take away all of the things that have put me through anxiety, all the things that bring me to a place where I don't want to be. But rather, what we need to be thinking about is that peace allows us to go through those things. Because all of those things are making us grow, and as you practice those things of peace, it's saying, like, the next time that those things come, because they're coming again, we'll be able to handle them in a way that is a great example for all of those around us.
And that's not only why we have them, but we have the peace, but we also have the joy, as we talked about last week.
Yep.
And we're not done with this passage. Paul goes on to say, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation. Mm. Whatever situation. Now, Paul couldn't have possibly been thinking about what we're going through right now. Whatever situation, I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Hear this, everyone. I can do what?
All things.
All things through Him who strengthens me. My strength is not my own. It is His. My peace is not my own. It is His. My joy is not my own. It is His. I live in His love. This peace that we practice that comes through Jesus cannot be gained by human effort. And it causes us to do the craziest things, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I think in this translation, when you were reading, I just noticed the word secret again. And again, it's not something that we're going to have to try to find that out, right? You think about any type of media that has a secret or a twist ending, you have to work for it. You have to find it. And again, it brings up the action of going after this and enhancing our relationship with God. You know, if we don't, it's going to remain a secret, and we're not going to be able to experience it at its full level. It's not about us. It's about the joy and love and peace that God gives us, which is the XL version. You know, that's the extra large version, right? Whenever there's something that we want, we can choose small or we can choose extra large. And yeah.
That's right. But you know, you and I were talking about this morning. We got to be careful, you guys. We ask God to help us in peace and to practice it.
Yeah.
He's going to give us opportunities to practice peace. Are y'all ready for that? Because it's going to come. It's like asking God for patience. He's going to give you opportunity. What do you do with it when it comes?
Yep.
When we do, and when those moments arise, we get to do things that Jesus did. We get to love others as He loved us. We get to love and pray for our enemies, not just those we love. We get to walk an extra mile. We get to turn the other cheek. We get to care for others more than we care for ourselves. And when people see that, what do they see?
They see God. It's that transforming, it's that renewing of our mind and transforming that Romans says. It's a taking captive of our thoughts and saying, like, I'm not going to allow myself to rely and remain in anxiety. I'm going to relish what God has given me. Look at what His love and joy and peace can do in my life. Through all of these things, not taking it away, but allowing us to go through there. To care for others, like you said, to care for others more than we care for ourselves.
And you mentioned this a little while ago. When we do the opposite of that, we show the exact opposite of Jesus. And you can say you're a Christian, but it's lived more than spoken. Do we live peace? Do we practice peace? We hope that somehow, some way, this has motivated all of us to allow that fruit of the Spirit, that supernatural power, to live through us.
Amen.
Let's pray. God, You are greater than our worst mistakes and our greatest anxieties. You're greater than the biggest tribulations and sufferings we might find ourselves going through. You're big. You're big. I just pray for a moment we take a breath and say how awesome You are. We're too busy sometimes to recognize who You are and what You've done for us. And our anxiety comes from our lack of our wanting to be in control. Pray for this moment that's the moment we know we have, that we release that control and peace fills our hearts. Not dread, peace. And let it be seen in all we do and say, our attitudes, our actions. So as we finish this prayer, we pray what Paul prayed. May the God of hope fill all of us. May you fill all of us with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may all abound in hope. Through the power and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen.